If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
When you control the money, you have a lot of power in the deal. Even if you were to build up all this content and this content were to attract a bunch of investors, and now you have, instead of $0, you have $500,000, maybe $1 million sitting on the table waiting to go into a deal. Suddenly now, sponsors will pay attention.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Andy Dickerson is a real estate investing expert with over a decade of real estate investing experience. She and her business partner, Julie Lamb, are co-founders of Good Egg Investments, a company that helps people invest passively in real estate syndications. Together, they have helped hundreds of investors around the country to invest in commercial real estate assets totaling over $800 million. Annie and Julie are authors of the book Investing for Good, The Surprising Strategy for Building Wealth While Also Making an Impact, co-hosts of the podcast Investing for Good, and creators of the Real Estate Accelerator, a top-rated online mastermind program designed to help people learn how to raise private capital for real estate investments.
Annie, hey, welcome to the show.
I'm thrilled to be here with you and your listener, Sam.
Oh my gosh, it's such a pleasure to interview you today. I know you and your business partner, Julie, are just doing awesome things in the real estate space. And I know we have a short time, but I really want to pull back the curtains on what you guys have done, how you've done it. Where did you start? I mean, just give us the down and dirty on how to be successful like you.
Well, let me cut to the chase. So I'll skip the backstory of how Julie and I each got into real estate and cut to the part where our journey together began, because that's where I think it gets really interesting. So Julia and I met at a real estate conference. She had been dabbling in raising capital for syndications for a few months, and I had just started to get into it at that point. So we met at this conference, and I'm an all-in kind of a person. Like, when I decide to do something, I burn all the boats, and I'm like, okay, let's go. And so I had literally just quit my job the week before that conference, and I was all in. I hadn't raised any money for a single deal yet. I was still in the process of doing my own deal. And we met at this conference and we realized we were both working moms. And our mission was to help other moms to get into commercial real estate and to learn about how this whole business works. Because as you know, there's so few women in this space. And we realized what a good fit passive real estate investing could be for busy parents, because you just put your money in and then you sit back, you don't have to do anything else. And we said, how cool would it be if we could teach other moms how to do this? And so we met at that conference, didn't think anything of it. We were just like, cool, you're doing your business, I'm doing mine. Very cool. Maybe let's keep in touch. We both happened to live in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so we left that conference. Little did I know, because we weren't in close contact at the time, little did I know our conversation had sparked something in her, so that she actually went home from the conference on Sunday and she put in her notice at her job on Monday. And so she was like, okay, I'm going all in too. If Annie could do it, I could do it. So she started going full time at it too. And so we met at a few other conferences over the span of maybe a couple of months. And then finally we were like, well, let's just, let's meet up in the city and, grab a coffee and just, chat and catch up. And so we did. And what happened was, we were sitting across the table. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I had been blogging like crazy, because I just had all this information I wanted to get out of my head. I'd been doing all this content creation, and she'd been out there hustling, talking to people. And we sit across the table from each other. And she says, so now that you've been doing this business for a while, what do you love about it? And I said, oh my goodness, if I could just create content all day long, like hole up in a corner and just create blog posts and create videos, whatever it is, I would be in heaven. And Sam, you know this, we're on the same wavelength. I'm like, but it's the investor calls. I'm like, oh my gosh, it breaks up my day. and I want to create content, but then I'm like, oh, I have to hop on the call. And so I'm like, if there's one thing that I could take off of my calendar, it would be those investor calls. Mm. And she's like, she looks at me across the table. She's like, are you kidding? She's like, I love those investor calls. I live for those calls. She had come from a legal background and she's like, man, I love it when they ask me those tough questions. And she said, I sit in front of a blank screen knowing I'm supposed to type a blog post and I have no idea what to write.
Right.
And so at that moment, we looked at each other and we're like, wait, you're good at that and I'm good at this. And we're both trying to help the same people. Maybe there's something here. And so that was the beginning of sparking that partnership. From there, we created Good Egg Investments, and then it has really taken off because we have such complementary skill sets.
Wow. So it sounds like a key lesson there is finding somebody who has a complementary skill set to you.
Yes. I think a lot of partnerships, people get together because they're so alike. They get along and they like the same things. They do the same things. And then they realize once they get in the partnership that they're stepping on each other's toes. Right. And I think it's extremely hard to find somebody whose skill sets complement yours, but you also get along. But I think the key is to first know what strengths you bring to the table, what you love to do, so that you know what you're looking for in a partner.
That's absolutely true. And I've been privy to, you know, various situations like that where you say, hey, look, we're bringing the exact same skill set to the table. I think you're great and we get along great. But I'm not who you need and you're not who I need to actually grow. So finding a key strategic partner is absolutely imperative. So now you guys met up and you're like, hey, this is great. Like the next stage or the next evolution in your business, like how you scale this is really the hurdle that you probably next had to tackle. So
yes.
Like when you, now that you guys, you know, fist bump and said, all right, rock and roll, let's go. We're doing this. Then what?
So then there were the two parts of the business, right? So there was the education side where we needed to build this whole funnel to capture new investors, to teach them everything that they need to know to get to a point where they're comfortable investing with us and investing in these deals. And then there's the other side of the business where we need to actually find these deals for them to invest in. So we got to work right away through our relationships, our existing relationships and partnerships and mentorships. We were able to find a couple of deals to raise for. I'll tell you about the first one because it was kind of a train wreck. So we were trying to build this plane while we were flying it. And we had this opportunity to come into a deal. And it was a market I knew very well, Huntsville, because I invest personally in Huntsville. So I knew the market really well. And these properties, I had already underwritten them myself. And I was like, I think there's great potential here. And so we came into this partnership. And, you know, when you first start out raising capital, you have all these various conversations with people. And people are like, yeah, you know, keep me in mind. I would be interested, right? So you collect a whole bunch of these casual conversations. And you're like, yeah, I could probably raise $1 million. Yeah, I could, that's easy. I think I had like 10 conversations. And yeah, I could probably have a few more. And so we went into this partnership. We were like, yeah, you know what? We could probably, between the two of us, we could probably raise $1 million. And for this very first deal, this was like 1 month into the partnership. We hadn't built up the systems, the automations. We barely had any blog posts up there. And we were like, okay, but we could do this. So while we were trying to educate the investors, we were calling them, we were figuring out how to put out a deal, what information is important for investors, how to do a webinar, when to do a webinar. Like we were trying to figure out all this stuff. And I tell you, it was like pulling teeth, that first one. Mm-hmm. It was like everything we were trying to figure out from scratch. It was like, is this going to work? I don't know. Is this going to work? Should we put out the deal again? I don't know. Should we email it? Should we call people? It was all these questions. At the end of the day, we raised just barely over $400,000. That's including me and my mom coming into the deal. So we were like, okay, this is going to be a little harder than we thought. wow. But we didn't lose hope. We were like, okay. We made that sort of work. We didn't hit our target number, but you know, the deal, you know, between the rest of the partners, we were able to come up with the capital. We were okay. So he said, okay, let's take our lessons.
So you did, I want to hear this. So you did raise the million or no?
Yes. From all the partners involved.
Okay. So, and I don't want to, sorry, I don't want to distract you too much, but I want to kind of clarify this point. So was the sponsor, because you guys are raising money for a sponsor's deal.
Right.
Were they mad at you? Did it burn a bridge? I mean, how did that work?
Yeah, that's a really good point. They were not, only because we were very proactive in our communications. And I think that is key. And still to this day, whenever we partner, we make it a point to let people know where we really are. We don't just hide behind a curtain and we say, we're going to raise $1 million and we're only at 300K. And we're like, okay, we could do it. No, we let them know. Like, we put out the deal. Here's what we got. Here's where we are. Here's what we're going to continue to do. Here's our plan to get us between here and where we said we were going to be. And if that doesn't work, we're going to try these things. And if those things don't work, we'd love your support. What ideas do you have? So it's really a partnership. It's not an us versus them. It really is. We're all in this together.
Sure.
And so in that partnership, we did the same thing. We let them know all along exactly where we were with our investor commitments. So there were no surprises.
Right.
So when we put it out and we said we were struggling, they knew, okay, let's put our heads together and figure out what else can we do.
So they picked up the slack on that deal then and brought in some other investors. Okay. Wow. That's a really generous sponsor and a great one to start out with, because, you know, if anybody's listening to this and you commit to raising funds and don't do it, I think you can burn some bridges really quickly out of the gate. And so the second key takeaway from this one, of course, is finding a partner. And the second key takeaway would be to just over communicate. That's fantastic. So you got this deal, you guys got in it and you raised your $400,000 for it. And then I guess, what are some things that you've learned between where you are today? Like, how many dollars, how many assets under management approximately do you guys think you have today? Any idea?
So we've done a lot of co-sponsoring. We've co-sponsored about 25, 26 deals at this point over the last 2 years. That 400K was, I'm happy to say, that was the lowest raise we ever did.
Sure.
It only went up from there. And so now we've participated, I wouldn't say we completely own, but we've participated in assets totaling about $800 million.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Absolutely.
That's amazing. What did you do strategically from when you said, all right, so swing and a miss on the million? You know, you had to go back to the bullpen and say, all right, guys, like, you know, we got to come up with a different play. Like, what did you do differently in order to now hit your targets and then, you know, scale even beyond that?
Yeah, well, we knew from the conversations we had with our investors from that first raise, there were a lot of questions. There was a lot of skepticism out there. And we knew we could only overcome that through education. So we really focused on putting out a lot of content, and especially we put out a lot of video content, because we knew that it wasn't just about information, it was about trust. And for them to be able to see us, see the way that we were talking about these deals, see the way our body language and our intent, how genuine and compassionate we were about all of this stuff, we wanted them to see that. And so we started putting out a lot of content. And meanwhile, we started getting opportunities to raise on other deals. And so it was sort of like, you know, in parallel, we were doing more deals, but also our content, our education, and our systems were getting better and better with each deal. So we did a lot of deals. We did a series of deals. And with each one, we tried something else. We said, okay, well, last one, we put the deal out and it had this subject line. Okay, well, could we improve that just a little bit? Let's try this. So it's almost like every time we were testing something new and getting a little bit closer, doing some tweaks each time, and we were getting better and better.
Right. And I think that's a common bottleneck for many investors, is which one do you do first? You know, because putting out content doesn't pay the bills. You can't cash a YouTube video at the grocery store. So it's like, which one of these do I do first? And, you know, do I find the deal? Do I find the money to put out the content? But it sounds like for you guys, you had the privilege of partnering with other syndicators who could really provide the deal flow. so that you had something to present to your investors as you perfected your way of presenting it.
That's exactly right.
That's brilliant, because that's not the typical path that investors take. Most people are going to go, all right, how do I, we're going to, like you said, build the plane as you fly it, except the plane for a lot of investors is, you know, obviously also finding and acquiring the assets and then finding your property management. I mean, right. It's building a lot more of those finer parts of the machine than, you know, just focusing on one.
I want to go back to one point you mentioned, which is you can't cash in a YouTube video, which is absolutely correct. 100% agree. However, when you control the money, you have a lot of power in the deal. Even if you were to build up all this content and this content were to attract a bunch of investors, and now you have, instead of $0, you have $500,000, maybe $1 million sitting on the table waiting to go into a deal. Suddenly now, sponsors will pay attention. When you can say, I have 20 investors waiting in the wings. I've already talked to all of them. They're ready to go. They know exactly what these deals are about. I'm just looking for the right deal for them. Here's what they're looking for. Suddenly, sponsors are like, oh, you have $1 million ready to go? You're not just saying that you can raise it? Like, that will turn heads too.
Right. And I think we heard this here recently, where raising money is the most sought after skill set in real estate. So that's fantastic that you have figured out really a proven model for doing that. That's absolutely inspiring. Any other pitfalls, any things you learned along the way, bad advice you got, things that you said, man, I wish I had never heard that?
Yes, actually, not advice that we got. And this is not related to raising capital necessarily, although you could tie it back in. As part of our education series, we wanted to launch a course. So the first course that we launched was for passive investors. And I had come from the world of instructional design. I actually did that for a living, created courses for people, for big companies. And so I said, okay, I got this. This is how we do it. We got to create the outline, then we create all the content, then we create the marketing materials, then we roll it out. Mm-hmm. And so we did it the, quote, traditional way, right?
Sure.
And by the time we rolled it out, we had put in hundreds of hours into this thing and had no compensation up to the point where we launched it. And we did get a few signups, a handful. I think it was like 8 people who signed up at the beginning. But eight people at like $1,000, that's not enough to compensate. So we thought, okay, that's okay. That's a start. We'll keep putting it out. Right? We'll keep putting it out.
Sure.
And it was not the right fit for the right audience. And so what we learned was that when you're putting out a product like that, and this applies to capital raising too, because it comes down to knowing your audience and their pain points and what you can provide to address those pain points. And so the second time we rolled out a course, we didn't build anything. We built the outline, literally a single page outline of what is going to be in this course. And anytime people asked, we said, here's a course that we are planning on launching. Would you be interested? Mm. And that's how the launch came to be. That's how we launched that second course, was because we put out an outline and we found that people were actually interested in it. And then we built it. And so I think the same thing applies for capital raising too, is that once you figure out what people want, so you put things out, but figure out what people want and then build that.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating. I'd love at some point to hear kind of a deeper dive on that. We're running out of time, but I do want to get to the final four questions. First, investing in bigger assets. If you were to distill everything that you know and had to give only one piece of advice to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
If you want to go bigger, at some point you're going to tap out of your own capital. So you have to leverage other people's money. And the best way to do that is to know who you're trying to serve. Mm. So figure out your target audience. Figure out, for us, it was busy moms who wanted passive income. Figure out who that person is, and then figure out how you can use passive income and passive real estate investing to serve them and help them reach their goals. That's how you're going to be able to raise the capital you need to go bigger.
That's awesome. Investing in yourself, what's one thing you do to stay on top of your game?
One thing I do is just, I take time for myself, and it's hard. It's extremely hard. As entrepreneurs, we're go, go, go. And I, you know, it's moved around over the years. Sometimes I do it in the morning, sometimes I do it at night, but I try to make sure I at least have a little bit of time for myself every day. No kids, no husband, no work, just me. Sometimes I meditate, sometimes I read a book. But, you know, especially as introverts, that's so important to recharge the batteries and be at our best for the next, for whatever's coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also being an introvert, if there were no quiet personal time during the day, I would go mad. So good for you. Yes. Good for you. Investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, I would say, you know, obviously we're doing a lot through all of our investments and making those better communities. But right now, one fun thing that we're doing, my husband and I, we wanted to, there's not a single cause that we're like super excited about, sure, but we were like, we really want to give. We really want to give. So what we did was we decided on, it's sort of a game. And so we said, okay, for the next, however long it takes for, to get to $1,000, we're just going to start with $1,000 to give to start. Mm-hmm. And we said, whenever somebody asks us for money, whether we get a letter in the mail or we get an email or we see it while scrolling through social media, every time we're going to give $100. And so we've, so far, it's been about a week. We've given away about $600 to just various places like national parks and Make-A-Wish and St. Jude and Habitat for Humanity. But it's just interesting to let the universe sort of take a hand in that piece too.
That's awesome. How fun is that? That's like Jim Carrey's Yes Man. Yeah. Episode, if you remember right. That. So, and I'm also going to send you an email right now that's going to request $100.
Exactly.
I'm kidding. How can people get in touch with you?
The best place to go would be our website, goodegginvestments.com. You can find everything there for either passive investors or if you're looking to raise capital and syndicate your own deals. If your listeners want to get in touch with me personally, I'm at Annie@goodegginvestments.com.
Annie, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Appreciate it. Your insight is awesome. And I know many will be inspired by what you and Julie are doing. So thanks again.
Thank you, Sam. This is an absolute blast.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.